Now, our regular GP from Clare, Dr. Maura Finn, is on the line. Still some time to send in questions. 51551, of course, the text line. The email address today, sor@rte.ie. Maura, before we get to listeners' questions, how have you been getting on with calls to your own practice? Do patients understand the new rules on testing? Are they worried about cocooning?
I think both. I think that most people do seem to understand the message has been made very clear. There's been a very good public health policy communication-wise. What we're doing, and I think what most practices are doing, we don't have an open door. We have everything, almost everything has been seen or dealt with on the phone. If somebody needs to be seen and we need to actually put hands on a belly or examine them directly, we invite them in and give them a time. They're asked to put on a mask at the door. So we're doing this for their safety and for our own safety. And people seem to understand this. It's an amazing the amount of work that we can manage over the phone now. There's been a huge amount of technology that's been put into place in a very short period of time, like emailing prescriptions through to pharmacies, video consultations, web conferences and ways that we actually are passing information over and back to each other between GPs and other health professionals. So we're all kind of adapting to this, and I think the patients are adapting quite well too.
And do you think those changes, some of them might be worth holding on to in the aftermath of all this?
That's a good question, because actually I think they are. I think, you know, medicine has changed, and this crisis has actually made us look at things very acutely and put a lot of things in place that actually probably can be kept and kept for the better. Chronic disease management, an awful lot of what we're doing can actually be dealt with over the phone. Sometimes, you know, a diabetic patient needs to be brought in to have a blood test done, but managing and monitoring their sugars and their medications and stuff, we can do a lot of stuff over the phone. So hopefully we'll keep some of this, not all of it. One of the things that I'm a bit concerned about is that we were dealing with phone consultations means that we deal with the immediate issues, you know, if somebody has a pain in their stomach or a sore foot or whatever it is, and the hidden agenda, which is a very important part of general practice, the other thing they may have wanted to talk about when they came in, that's not been dealt with. You know, like your previous segment was talking about domestic abuse, you know, with situations like that where we would talk to somebody about their personal or social or marital issues that are causing them great concern, we're not getting an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, the direct eye contact allows you to maybe pose the question, is there something else?
Absolutely, and that empathy is reduced over a phone consultation. It's not completely gone, but it certainly is reduced. So some parts of this are very beneficial and we're learning from it. Some parts, obviously, we're missing that direct patient contact. I personally miss it as well, and seeing some lovely well babies coming in, things like that. But actually, that's something I want to get across, actually, Sean, if you don't mind, is that I think there's been a bit of focus recently about the non-COVID work, and that's really important that people understand that acute medical emergencies have to be seen, as always had been. That would be heart attacks, strokes, abdominal pain, but also the routine stuff like children's vaccinations. That program is continuing. It's really important that continues, because we don't want children to be more vulnerable to other diseases as a result of COVID-19. Antenatal care, lots of other kind of routine work that has to be done to keep people safe, that is continuing. It may be on a slightly different basis, but it is continuing.
Yeah, just to some of the questions we got in from our listeners. Maura, I got sick 15 days ago, tested on day 8, still no result after 7 days, no temperature the last 5 days. Can I stop with self-isolation, asks a caller.
Okay, the rules are you isolate for 14 days from the onset of your symptoms, or 5 days after your last temperature, but 14 days from the onset of your symptoms. So if you were, for instance, 12 days from the onset of your symptoms, but you still had a temperature, you have to extend that a little further. So if that person as well has not had a temperature for 5 days, it's 15 days since the onset of symptoms, yes, their self-isolation can end.
Right. Another one. I don't often have hot water. Must mind the bills. Is it okay if I wash my hands with cold water?
Yes, because soap is the most important part here. However, it's unpleasant to wash them in warm water anyway. And heat will kill a virus, but it would be very hot. So you're not washing your hands in 100 degrees Celsius water anyway. So the soap is more important, but obviously soap and water is what we'd always suggest. and whatever's most comfortable and affordable for you.
Yeah, I suppose the other thing is some people feel that with all the stuff that they're between hand washing and putting the sanitizer on their skin, it leaves their hands in a pretty well in a poor state or in some cases at the end of a day.
Yeah, it can do. People can, you know, excessive soap use by its definition actually causes dryness of the hands. And for people who suffer from eczema, which is a dry skin condition, a very common one, they will be suffering because of this. However, really, you know, this is where we all make sacrifices. They also should be very careful about moisturising after they wash their hands. I would actually, if somebody has very sensitive hands, like that, keep your hands in your pockets as much as you can. If you do that, you're not going to touch things. It's all about touching, you know. It's all about what the surface you touch, and then you touch your face. So if you have issues with your hands, try and be very cautious to mind them. Use your steroid creams if you need to. Moisturise as much as you can, but you still need to hand wash. So I'm afraid it's a balance there that has to be found out.
Yeah, my daughter developed a cough 2 days ago. She slept fine last night with no coughing yesterday evening, and feels fine this morning. She lives in England and can't get a test, even though she's in the frontline staff in a hospital. If she remains cough-free today, she's wondering if she should return to work tomorrow.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, listen, every country has different guidelines on this. But as far as we're concerned, in this country, a healthcare worker frontline would actually be given a test in that situation. However, if she wasn't a healthcare worker, no, the guidelines wouldn't suggest she get a test here. It's very tricky. In that situation, she needs to contact her employer. Her cough could be from very many different reasons.
Yeah.
However, we are trying to get the message out to people that you should assume you have COVID-19. If we do that, if we all assume we have it, we then will protect the people around us. And then that also takes the issue about whether a test is done or not. It's not so important. If you have symptoms, you isolate. If you have symptoms, you assume it's COVID-19.
Yeah.
A positive or negative test is only another piece of information.
No.
It is not a defining piece of information.
Another one. My wife is a nurse in a local hospital. So far, no problem with the virus. What guidelines should she adhere to when she gets home after a day's work?
Okay, that's a very good question, because what we would hope is that she has been given enough equipment and has been able to adhere to all the guidelines in work. But at home, and this is what I'm doing as well, I shower straight away, take off all the clothes you've been wearing, put them in the wash, try not to embrace your family until you have really desanitized yourself so that you feel that you are safe to touch them and to be close to them. If you have any symptoms at all, keeping a distance is probably a better thing to do, including cutlery, surfaces, and all of that advice that has been given about sanitation.
Yeah.
But if that lady is well, just really, I think, kind of having a shower, washing herself and her clothes.
Now, a few more quick ones.
What people are
doing. We'll try and beat the clock with them. This one comes up repeatedly. Maura, can you get the virus from pets if they cough or sneeze, especially cats?
I have looked into that, having two dogs at home. It seems that this virus does not affect animals, as in dogs and cats are normal domestic animals. But it's a fluid issue. We don't know. It's a new virus.
If they carry.
It's an uncertainty. I personally feel that it's probably fine, but I couldn't be held over that. You know, we don't know. This is a new virus.
What about newspapers? Do newspapers carry the virus?
Well, there's a lot of work being done on how long the virus can stay on any surface. We do know that it has a half-life of maybe 6 to 8 hours on some surfaces and shorter on others. That means that it is possible that it can stay on a newspaper or any other surface. However, our print media needs our help at the moment. I think if you're cautious and if you're washing your own hands and if you want to wear a pair of gloves while
There's a lot of good reading in the papers, and we'll be talking about the provincial or the regional papers a little later in the programme. Now, another one, is it recommended that a couple at home cocooning should isolate from each other? Frank says he's getting mixed messages on this.
If both people are well, there's no reason to suggest that would be a good idea. If one person is unwell, one person is symptomatic in some way, then of course... And that would be for somebody over 70 or under 70. So if one person is unwell, they should self-isolate. But if both people are well, there's no reason. You know, they're sharing an environment. It would be impossible for them to stay 2 metres apart in an average family home.
And last quick one, what's considered a normal temperature range? We've been warned to look out for a fever, but mine seems low, 36.
Oh, normal temperature is 37. That's what we always consider normal temperature. You really don't consider somebody having a temperature until it's over 38.
Okay. Maura, thank you so much indeed for joining us. That's our regular GP on the line there from County Clare, Dr. Maura Finn.